This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
5 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons. Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, Ted Johnson, and Football Talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. 5 o'clock, WEEI Afternoons. That means it's time for The Drive.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep. In the left field. Gone!
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. On WEEI Afternoons.
So the biggest story in Patriot Nation heading into week one, the opener against the Raiders, Sunday at Gillette Stadium, is no longer just about Christian Gonzalez and his health. In fact, I think everybody's kind of resigned to the fact that that's no longer a story because he's probably not going to play on Sunday. So we move on to story B, and that would be the debut of Stephon Diggs. But before we can get to Stephon Diggs' debut, first time we'll see him in any sort of game action because he didn't play in the preseason, we have a soap opera situation that has developed between the wide receiver, who may be a diva, who may be whatever you want to call him, based on his track record and things that have gone on in Buffalo and Minnesota and his history with quarterbacks and bitching for the ball. But he's new here, so fresh beginning here in New England. But he's got a little thing going on with Phil Perry, with Tom Curran, with NBC Sports Boston. So we need to revisit where this all started. And I think it started when Phil Perry was in Minnesota, and this was in the midst of some weirdness with Diggs' usage and stories going on about him, and Phil Perry said this. Phil Perry said this. Not that.
It's interesting, Tom, this. Because, you know, there are little signs that he's just becoming a bit of a pain in the posterior. I asked Mike Vrabel about those very comments that we just played this morning. And he said, did you really believe that, Phil? Did you really believe those comments? I mean, he's out here. He's doing everything. You seem like a smart guy. Did you really believe that? I said, yeah. I mean, he says he might not be ready for week one. Do you have any doubt? And he said, I don't know. We'll find out when we get to week one. But he's out here and he's doing everything. I mean, for Mike Vrabel to sort of have to be his public relations assistant and tell us what he really meant in his commentary to a member of the national media, I don't know if that irks Mike Vrabel or if he's just looking to go back and forth with somebody in the media. But between Downing's comments, between his what I would call sort of quiet performance this camp, Vrabel's comments this morning, and the fact that, Tom, he is not planning, is my understanding, on talking to the local media until he plays in a game, so maybe that'll happen this Saturday, I have my doubts, it all sort of adds up to, there's a lot going on with this guy for a guy who doesn't look like a number one receiver.
And he also said he's being a bit of a pain in the posterior. And that is the issue that sort of seemingly irked Diggs, who he actually spoke before he played in his first game because he spoke yesterday. He held a press conference down at Gillette Stadium. What I am now being told is a sort of one-off situation. This is a little side note here. For many years, the press conferences were basically the head coach and the quarterback. Everybody else was in the locker room. You'd go in there. You'd stand by Ted Johnson's locker. You'd talk to him. In recent years in New England, we've evolved where, like, more captains were talking. There'd be three or four press conferences.
It's been that way for a while.
And it isn't anymore. From what I've been told, they're going back to the old-fashioned way of the there'll be a Drake May press conference. There'll be a Mike Vrabel press conference. The other media access will be in the locker room. So this was sort of a one-off Steph Diggs press conference yesterday in which he wanted to get some things off his chest. And we need to allow him, give him the pulpit or the opportunity to do that. So this is what Steph Diggs led off with yesterday in his press conference.
Before we start, you mind if I have a little conversation with y'all? Obviously, I haven't talked much in camp, but I do kind of want to address some things. Obviously, I look at the media as a whole, and I kind of want to approach this thing as professional as possible. So I had some conversations, and I had some interviews throughout camp, and some of my words are misconstrued. And, you know, kind of, I don't know, me talking to another individual, I don't know, it was kind of regurgitated in another way. So, or taken out of context, and I think I was referred to as a pain in the ass. You know, and I hate painting a posterior, but I'm going to say exactly what it really was. Obviously, I don't want to come across as that. And I'm going to say this. I want to be very clear. I'm an adult. I apologize. I'm not up here to ego trip. I'm not up here to rub anybody the wrong way or say anything for clickbait. If I rubbed anybody the wrong way, I really want to apologize. Moving forward, obviously, we have a media to player relationship. As professional as I can be, I want to make myself available each and every week. I obviously don't want to make this thing abrasive. It can be as seamless as possible, and it also can be abrasive. And I don't want to get up here and not answer questions or make anybody feel uncomfortable. You know, it's a world we live in. Like, if somebody calls you an ass, you know, you start acting like one. No, you don't. I won't. That's not me. So I want to apologize if I ever came across as ass to anybody. But moving forward, I kind of want to get things off on the right foot. We're going to spend a lot of time together, and I kind of want to give a obviously a good interview if I'm asked questions. I don't want to get up here giving you the vanilla answers or no answer at all. So moving forward, hopefully this relationship can grow and we build on something special. You know, obviously it's going to be a long season, so we're going to spend a lot of time together.
So what Stephon Diggs and Phil Perry were referencing was the Diana Rossini podcast. And we talked about it. We played it on here at the time when she asked him if he was going to play and he was like coy, didn't really answer. Remember he had that word... I believe he said, the coaches aren't really excited about it. I'm not really excited about it. And we were like, do you know what excited means? Did you misuse a word there? So this all came from that. Was he being playful? Was he being a pain in the butt? Was whatever that was. Well, he wants to set the record straight, Ted Johnson, and tell everybody he's not an a-hole. And he doesn't want to have to be an a-hole. And he doesn't want to have to be adversarial with the media. Were you surprised at this approach that he took yesterday, or that this even happened?
Very surprised. Because I think I'm not sure clear on if it was him personally that wanted to get something off his chest, or that it was Vrabel, the head coach, that wanted him to go say those things so that he could, make a point to Steph Diggs. I mean, was the impetus really Steph Diggs, or was it Mike pushing him to go say that? I almost think it's the latter. I feel like. My feeling is, from what I heard from Steph Diggs, is that there was a head coach that didn't like what he said to Diana Rossini. Phil Perry talked about it being a pain in the ass, and he referenced that. But I think it was more Vrabel not being happy with what Diggs did. And so he made him go address something that happened 3 weeks ago, which is kind of an odd time to – it's happened 3 weeks ago. No one's talking about it. No one's thinking about it. Why bring it up now? Now we're talking about it. Now it's something – going into the season, do you really want to be talking about this? It makes me wonder if Mike is listening to things. He's not ignoring the noise. He's got ears in the cornfield about things that I didn't think maybe he would care about. The fact that this is on his radar, the fact that I think that he made Steph Diggs go address this, to me is strange and a little bit surprising. So I found this whole thing to be unusual and a little bit concerning, because I kind of was hoping that maybe that the noise wasn't going to be a factor when it came to Mike being the head coach here. But maybe it is something that is bothering him.
Fitzy, along those lines, does this tie in any way to the rats comment? Like, is this Mike Vrabel with some attention being paid to things that are not necessarily ideal, not necessarily directly related to football and prepping for the Raiders?
I don't think this has to do with the rats comment. I just think that this can be, depending on how Sunday goes. Again, I think everything ties back into all roads lead to Sunday. Patriots win Sunday, look like a buttoned up, competent, well-practiced, well-oiled professional operation. Guess what? They went through their 2 weeks of turmoil, tumult, and turnover, and then they found a way through it together as a team, united, bonded, forged in Foxborough, and then all is good. If they go out Sunday, they look like the inferior team to the Raiders. Pete Carroll has that working and clicking like a machine. Pats get carved up, lose by 3, 6, 10 points, and have a poor showing. Then it's going to be, man, it started with the rats, and now it's gone on for like 3 weeks. What's going on with this team?
So, and Ted, I did say earlier, part of me thinks, couldn't you have just handled this behind the scenes, right? Like, you talk to Phil and whoever, have a little powwow at a locker in the locker room. But then the other part of me says, well, Phil calling him a pain in the posterior was on a public platform, right? That happened publicly. So therefore, Diggs has the right to get his side out there publicly on as big a platform he can, and that would be a press conference at Gillette Stadium with the entire media involved. Did you think that was weird?
Yeah, well, because it feels a little bit like grandstanding.
A little bit.
And that's I'm not a big fan of that. It's a diva quality. And so there's a little bit of that with this, too. It's not only do I think it was Mike pushing him and suggesting to me that he's more concerned about the outside noise than I maybe anticipated, but it also reflects, I think, a player that wants to be topical, that wants to be in the news. That is, this is the drip, drip, drip type of stuff that I think can wear on you by having a guy like Steph Diggs on your team. He might not have one big incident that is justifies getting rid of him, but it's just going to be like little things throughout the year that you got to address and spend energy on that you would rather be spending energy on somewhere else.
Yes, it is.
I almost felt like it was Diggs putting, kind of, in a way, putting the media on notice. As we're going to hear coming up in the drive, Phil Perry had already spoke and apologized to Diggs. So Diggs did not need to go out there and name check both Curran and Diggs, I mean, and Perry, excuse me, and say, they called me an a-hole. And then there's that he goes, if you want it to be abrasive, it can be abrasive.
There was a little threat there.
A little, and it's self-serving.
Good for him. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just, if he's such this magnanimous guy and, you know, I just want to have a good relationship with the media, then you didn't need to name call Perry and Curran, especially when, like I said, we're about to hear, it was already talked about off air between the two people.
Right. He made it clear, just because I'm called an a-hole, that's not going to push me to be an a-hole. But this can get abrasive if we need it to be. I can get abrasive. I can go there. I can become the a-hole if you want to treat me like the a-hole. But you referenced it, Stiz. Phil Perry last night on NBC Sports Boston sort of detailed his side of things.
I did actually get a chance to talk to him briefly in the locker room Friday because I shouldn't have said that. You know, it's that sort of speculative. I actually have heard from people in the building almost as soon as I had finished that episode of Quick Slants that he's been fine. He's been fine behind the scenes. They've liked him during camp. He's met all their expectations during camp. So that was purely speculative on my part. It's usually a lane I'm not residing in. So I did want to apologize to him, and I made several efforts to do that. I talked to him Friday. I know you're looking at me sideways. You wouldn't apologize. That's fine.
It's just weird. It's weird that Phil feels the need that he's got to apologize. I mean, Tom Curran was apologizing in the press conference.
Oh, yeah.
And that was partly because I almost don't blame him because of the way Diggs kind of approached it. Again, I think to some degree grandstanding, and so they felt probably like they needed to rebut. If he's going to be saying this publicly, then I need to apologize publicly so I don't look like the a-hole. So I think it's just kind of a weird thing that I don't think needed to be addressed, but here we are.
I'd like to ask a larger question. Does this possibly give off any bad sort of there's the Boston media making a show of itself or making it the story kind of vibes to any people outside of Boston that would come here, agents, managers, etc.?
No.
I mean, the showman here is Diggs, in my opinion. Like, we do jobs. We talk every day for 4 hours. Phil Perry does podcasts and TV. He did a job. Did he say something maybe he regrets or was less than perfectly stated? Okay, but that happens when you talk. Like, he didn't grandstand. The grandstanding here would be Diggs.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the Diggs saying what he said yesterday in the press conference was at his request or at Vrabel's request?
I don't know. That's a great question.
I'd love to know the answer to that because that would tell me a lot. If I
think
knew.
Diggs.
Okay.
My gut tells me Diggs.
Then it's grandstanding.
Yeah. My gut tells me that it's Diggs. And he was a little disingenuous there when he said something about available every week. You weren't. You haven't been. In fact, had you been available every week, I think a lot of this would have been cleared up because these questions would have been asked by Tom Curran and Phil Perry and others.
Let me ask you this. Do you think if he wanted to do that yesterday, do you think Vrabel knew what he was going to talk about?
Yes. Yeah. I do think this must have been run up some flagpole.
Okay.
Stacey James to Vrabel, media relations to football.
Interesting.
Stretch. I do think the way this came off, this was a performance to some degree. He wanted a certain message out there. He wanted to handle things a certain way. I feel like that would have been run up a flagpole by somebody.
And yes, don't you think it's kind of him being like, hey, I'm listening.
Oh, absolutely.
So just know, I hear what you're saying.
What you say, you call me a pain in the butt. You call me an a-hole. I know you called me an a-hole. I pay attention to everything. Absolutely. We did speak with Tom Curran earlier, who was part of this, was sort of called out by Diggs as part of this. And we asked Tom to sort of put it in his perspective for us. Where we stand, how did this all come about, and how do you feel like things stand right now?
I think they stand in a really good spot. He articulated that, hey, if you guys perceive me as a pain in the ass, and I think that
in saying so, he was like kind of mentioning, what have I done necessarily to represent myself as such? But if you feel as if I have been that, I apologize, which certainly opened the door for a good discussion as to, hey, we saw this really occurred around the Diana Rossini conversation with Diggs, where he intimated that he wouldn't be available for week one. Mm-hmm. And that followed soon after Todd Downing, the wide receivers coach, kind of saying that Diggs needed to be in the right place and engaged and understanding the places he needed to be. That coupled with maybe a little less production from Diggs during camp, and that might have been related to the knee, certainly likely that it was. But all those things and his history lead you to say, is he playing in a game here a little bit with his availability in week one? Is there a little bit of rancor here? So I just said, is there some smoke here? Is this going to be an issue? And Phil said, you know, if you look at it, the totality of it, it could be. So that's where that was. But I don't blame him in the least for using his public platform to address it if we're going to use our public platform to speculate on it. So I think it's in a good spot. So that's the background. That's where we stand. And, you know, until further notice, and I doubt not anticipating that it will be, but until further notice, Stephon Diggs is ready to go and be a contributing member of the team, and there should be no drama.
So I feel like everybody's over-communicating. I think we've reached the point. Diggs said too much. Curran said too much. Perry mm-hmm. said too much. Talk. Let's move on.
But Perry and Curran, the only reason it sounds like they talk too much is because they were forced to.
Correct.
By Diggs bringing up something that happened 3 weeks ago that everyone had forgotten about.
Well, and he could have talked about it then if he talked at all. That's my side of things. If you wanted to talk about it, you should have talked about it. That's the one aspect here that kind of rubs me the wrong way. The other thing is we have to bring into account his history. He's been a pain in the butt in Minnesota. He's been a pain in the butt in Buffalo. And fair or not, people bring that to the conversation. They view you through that lens of what you've done in the past as well.
He does not see it that way.
No.
I got my hand caught in the cookie jar all those times. Mm-hmm. And now, and, you know, before I've even done it, you want to...
And your cookies are missing and you want to know where the cookies are? Yeah. You're looking at me.
How dare you blame me? So that's kind of the attitude he's got, which makes me a little nervous because settle down a little bit.
Dan Ball. You have some information on the University of North Carolina?
Yeah, a new story from Doug Kide in the Boston Herald, and I'm quoting this directly. This was published 3 minutes ago.
Ooh.
Bill Belichick has banned Patriot scouts from attending UNC practices to scout their players, multiple sources confirmed to the Herald. Quote, why would we let them in our home after how he's been treated since he left? We will help our players, but being treated fairly is a two-way street, end quote, a UNC athletic source told the Herald via text. Patriot scouts can still receive film on UNC players and call their staff for information on prospects.
Wow, that's a harsh quote from Mike Lombardi to the Herald there.
Oh.
I mean, who else could it be?
I mean, it's definitely Lombardi. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I know reporters don't like when we speculate on their sources when they're not named.
Okay, but this is flies in the face of what you thought they would do, which was deny, deny, deny. They're basically saying, yeah, no, this is...
Yeah, I'm stunned. They handle things more poorly than even I expected.
They doubled they doubled down on the dickery. That's incredible.
That? Jordan PR, baby.
This is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. The issue of banning them is one thing. This response to it is dumber than I even thought they could be. That is unbelievable.
Doesn't even care. They had all that time to think about their statement, what they were going to say, and that was what they came up with.
That's what they came up with, and that was allowed to be expressed.
Yeah.
Like, that was put out there. That's Ted, you could not be more right. I don't know how you can send your child to a coach who just proved it's personal.
Yep.
This isn't about what's best for your child. When my personal issues get in the way, I'm going to choose my personal issues over your son, over his future, over his opportunities.
This isn't new. Just so people know, this is not a new thing with Bill.
I would argue that's a fireable offense for the University of North Carolina. He just proved that he's not thinking what's in the best interest of their student athletes. And I believe down there, they still call them student athletes. They want them to be student athletes. We're molding not just football players, but young men and all that.
They market themselves as the 33rd team.
That is unbelievable.
Wow.
That quote came to the light of day. I apologize. I was wrong. I thought UNC was better than that and smarter than that. They're not. They're dumber than what I even could have even expected. That's an unbelievable quote right there. 617-779.
Blame Bill Belichick.
Well, Bill Belichick is UNC football right now.
I don't think he ran it by UNC before they said that statement.
They got in bed with him.
They did.
So that's UNC football. He is UNC football right now, correct? He's the face, the voice, the everything of that program.
Chapel Bill.
Chapel Bill, and that's your mm-hmm. guy, Stiz, right there. Stiz, you want to send your son to UNC, where he's eliminating job opportunities for your son right out the gate?
You can still get tape if you want tape.
The son that you know of, Stiz, the son that you know about.
Yeah. Oh, one of many.
617-779-7937. If you want to react to the Diggs situation, we see you lining up. And now we have new information on North Carolina. They have banned Patriots scouts from their facilities.
You can call and get some footage or something, but we're not going to help your son get to the NFL if it means he could end up with the New England Patriots.
Wow. It is personal beyond belief between Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft, and the Patriots. And, of course, Robert's the bigger man. He said he's going to put a statue up of Bill. What a nice gesture that was after Bill's performance the other night. 617-779-7937. That's up next. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
The Chris Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI, brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Red Sox fell to the Guardians last night at Fenway Park. The final was 8-1. Off day today for the Sox. They begin a 6-game Western road trip on Friday that will feature 3-game series against the Diamondbacks and the Athletics. Boston is currently tied with the Yankees for the top AL wild card spot. From earlier today, the Sox are placing right-handed reliever Jordan Hicks on the injured list with a shoulder injury and calling up lefty Chris Murphy before tomorrow's game in Arizona. The Patriots open up the 2025 season on Sunday at 1 o'clock against the Raiders. Tune in to hear Ted Johnson and the crew on WEEI's NFL Football Sunday, beginning on Sunday at 10 a.m. Also, Andy Hart and Nick Fissi-Stevens bring you the Six Rings post-game show after the conclusion of Red Sox coverage on Sunday. Patriots cornerback Christian Gonzalez is once again the lone player not spotted at practice today. His status for Sunday is still unknown. Also new this afternoon, per Ian Rappaport, Raiders wide receiver Amari Cooper has informed the team that he no longer has the desire to play and intends to retire. Tonight, the 2025 NFL season kicks off in Philadelphia as the reigning Super Bowl champ Eagles host the Dallas Cowboys. Kickoff is at 8:20. Coverage of that game begins right here on WEEI at 7 p.m. after the Christian Arcan Show. And from around the league, outside linebacker Nick Bonito and the Broncos reached agreement on a 4-year, $106 million extension, making him the highest paid non-quarterback in Broncos franchise history. Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank. Member FDIC and DIF. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
What'd you think of Bill Belichick's first game as head coach of North Carolina?
What'd
football?
You think of Joe Namath on the Rams? What'd you think of Johnny Unitas on the Chargers? Since when is the University of North Carolina even in the conversation of a college football powerhouse?
Not at all.
Exactly.
And still not right now.
That was Stiz's guy, Bill Burr, on the Rich Eisen show. Sounds like he has cut ties with Bill Belichick after chastising you. Wasn't he like talking down to us about Bill Belichick a couple years ago?
Oh, yeah. I interviewed him at Comics Come Home a couple years ago. And he roasted me. Took, you know, carrying water for Bill Belichick, roasting me for even questioning that maybe Belichick lose his job as head coach at the Patriots. And then told me that I look like somebody who's about to get a divorce but doesn't know it yet.
Well, the fraud that he is, it sounds like he's cut ties with Bill Belichick now, too. Fraud.
Well, no, the video.
He was playing around.
Yeah, the full video is both a roast of and toast to Belichick. Like, yeah, he burns Belichick, but also burns people for jumping all over, the old coach's back as well. I thought it was very well done.
Yeah, I'm not a big Bill Burr guy. He's never really resonated
for me, really.
This comes as a stunning revelation.
He's a goat. One of the goats.
Okay. With me. Yeah. Stiz, I appreciate that, Stiz. He roasted you. Yeah. You had a little thing with him, but you can still acknowledge his greatness.
Yep. Exactly, like Kraft and Belichick.
All right, that's enough. Okay, Dan Ball, before we get to the phone call, 617-779-7937. We have an update out of North Carolina. There was an earlier report that Bill Belichick had banned Patriots scouts from UNC practices. And what have we now?
We have have a story in the Herald from Kaiden Callahan saying Bill Belichick has banned Patriot scouts from attending UNC practices to scout their players. Multiple sources confirmed to the Herald, quote, "Why would we let them in our home after how he's been treated since he left? We will help our players, but being treated fairly is a two-way street," a UNC athletic source told the Herald via text. Patriot scouts can still receive film on UNC players and call their staff for information on prospects. Would you be sent right to voicemail? That I don't know.
This is unprecedented.
This really is unprecedented.
I've never heard of a coach ever doing this.
Yeah, I've heard of scouts having like limited viewing areas. Oh, he puts us in a box at the far end, but that's for everybody. That's every NFL team coming to that college campus. This is him eliminating one of the 32 impossible employers for his team.
It's not even a team that he didn't have any association with. It's a team that he won six Super Bowls with. A team that he had unprecedented power and wealth basically from. A team that wants to immortalize him by giving him a statue that he's doing this to. It is amazing to me, kind of the literal and figurative walls that he's built. I mean, you hear stories of he's building fences around the practice squats or around the practice field so people can't see in. There's more security guards. There's facial recognition technology to get into the building. It's really what he's doing in his own life, building walls, but he's really building walls outside, too, to keep people out. He is getting more paranoid, more insecure, and more isolated the older he gets.
This is the Mad King fortifying the castle. This is exactly what's going on right now. While no one wants to attack it, and really nobody wants to get into it. And I hate to say it, as grateful as I, as Patriots fan, would be to Bill Belichick for everything he contributed. Oh, no. Wait, you mean I can't scout Gio Lopez and the Johnson kid and the other 70 recruits you brought in who lost by 34 on Monday night? Oh, man. What a bummer, Bill. Please don't not allow me to go there.
See, you get an offense that turned the ball over twice that led to direct points to the other team. You get a defense that couldn't tackle and was giving up big plays. Where exactly do I want players from at UNC? You're right. Don't worry about it. You can't ban us. We're not going to come to your stupid little practices. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phone lines. Al and Quincy. What's up, Al?
How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Ted.
Yeah, bud.
Hey, Ted, did you ever apologize to Vince Wilfer when you had that open mic?
I apologized to him. I sure did, Al.
That's it? Al hung on that long for that question.
Fantastic. Nailed it.
Thanks for the call,
long,
Al.
Long time ago, bud.
We did have a texter that pointed out what Fitzy just pointed out. Bill's recruits aren't good enough to be scouted, and that's real. That's real. Right now,
who cares?
He can think he has NFL talent. He barely has college talent on his roster right now. That may change. Mm-hmm. Maybe this 2026 class that everybody's raving about will be a better class.
I'm barring everyone from eating at the Belichick Cafe. Yeah, well, you're a 2.3-star Google restaurant. No one wants to go there in the first place.
And I know we don't necessarily, I guess.
You know, that's not the point, though.
What?
It doesn't matter how bad the players are. The fact that he's not allowing access for a one NFL team to, I don't care. There might be somebody on that team that could be on a roster somewhere.
Sure. So, even though his roster's bad, there could be. I mean, there's potential NFL talent on Sacramento State, on any school, anywhere. But if we're really going to keep track of this, which he clearly is, like he's got a tote board right here. He's keeping track of every little back and forth. You're right, Ted. It's been mostly positive of late here about Bill Belichick, including this week, the latest, where I joked about Robert having a PR moment when Bill's at his lowest time, the worst loss he's ever had. 500 games in the NFL, he didn't give up 48 points. First game in college, he gave up 48 points, got embarrassed on national television. Robert says, yes, we're going to put a statue right next to Brady for all the great things that Bill did when his career is done. Bill had the comments a couple weeks ago to Ben Volen. You know, it's much better here because you don't deal with an owner and the owner's son, right? That was Bill. Mm-hmm. That was unsolicited. And now he says this isn't, well, he didn't say anything. A source, which I presume and assume is Mike Lombardi, his right-hand man who likes to talk, says, like, this is a two-way street, right? And it's personal. Like, what exactly are they talking about? What exactly have they, does this go back to last year when there was the rumblings that Robert may have talked Atlanta out of giving him a job kind of thing?
You have to understand, it could have happened 20 years ago. He holds on to every slight, so it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. You're trying to figure out what is it the Bill's upset about. Good luck trying to figure that out. It's probably a million and one reasons. that that he feels the way he does.
Interesting question from the 843. So we talked to Drake May on Tuesday, Patriots Monday, and he said he met with Bill. He wants to keep meeting with Bill, wants to go down there. Is Drake May allowed on the University of North Carolina campus?
I'd be curious.
Is he allowed at football?
If he puts his eyes in that scanner, does that open up for
him?
Yeah.
Like, probably not. He's a Patriot now. He's tied to the Patriots. He could bring information back to Robert or Vrabel or Cowden.
Well, I wish they had like a prospect that was high on the Patriots list.
Oh, God, it's unbelievable. Let's go back to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Mason in the car. What's up, Mason?
Yeah, hey, guys. Yeah, I think you kind of mentioned this already, but just reiterating just how Belichick's losing his mind. And not only that, like one game in, he's now – like losing brownie points, it's probably the wrong phrase, but with his players, you're talking about eliminating possible opportunities for your players from NFL scouts. There could be any moment where it's like it makes a good play and the NFL scouts looking at someone. So he's diminishing his own players' possibilities in the future. This guy's an a-hole.
Thanks for the call, Mason. Your words, not ours. We didn't say that, but I do agree with the part where he's limiting or diminishing potential employment opportunities for football players at the University of North Carolina. Yes, it is.
Why does he have? Because I'll agree. This is
petty beyond belief.
It is.
Oh, is it beyond the pale?
It's petty Kruger. Why does Bill have such a hair across his butt? I mean, just the firing? Like, that's it?
No, the dynasty clearly was a part of it.
Okay,
I think the dynasty was part of it. The docuseries,
but we don't know.
We don't
know, and also the way that Mayo was drafted and chosen to be coach on alongside, and the 2023 was apparently an incredibly acrimonious year with people setting up camps and not talking to each other. He holds all of that against him as well.
Oh yeah, Bill stopped talking to Mayo midseason,
but Bill knew that Mayo was his successor.
It was literally written in the contract.
Yeah,
yeah.
So he knew, but it just came sooner than.
Yeah. And Bill brought Mayo to New England. Bill begged him to join his coaching staff 5 years earlier. Like, and not saying that means they couldn't have gone sideways from there. There's just a lot of aspects to this story. 100%, there's a lot of aspects. But this idea that, time heals all wounds, or we can be the bigger men, or we can be adults. Mm-hmm. I said to Ted during the break, if I'm North Carolina, I now look at this and go, oh, crap. We're in bed with this guy. If he's treating the Patriots, where he was for 20 years, had the ultimate success, built his reputation, if he's treating the Patriots this way, how is he going to treat us when we maybe have to fire him? Like, what? How's this relationship going to go sideways? Because they're not going to be together forever. And based on the first game, it's not off to a great start. Like, it's going to end in this great, he walks off into the sunset like John Elway with a title in his
hand. Trust me, UNC's thinking that exact same thing.
I would be. I'd also, this quote, I can't imagine. This quote seems like it came directly from the Belichick camp, right? This doesn't seem like it came from the University of North Carolina, a very prestigious, one of the most prestigious universities in America. It is a absolute academic great school, right?
It's Ivy adjacent.
And so this represents them because he is North Carolina. So when there's a quote like this about Bill Belichick in North Carolina football, this represents the philosophy professor, the English professor, this is the Tar Heel Nation.
It would be like one of us saying something wild on Twitter. Right. It represents
all these silos being torn down, and you've got institutions suing the federal government and pursuing auxiliary judgments, and then the federal government suing institutions. It's a whole mess. The last thing we need is somebody literally barring people from setting foot on university grounds over a grudge based on the way they were handled in their post-Super Bowl years as the most celebrated NFL coach ever. The optics on this are horrendous.
If I'm UNC, I'm going to Bill and I'm telling him to retract that.
You have to. And you say that didn't come from the university. We're not sure where that came from.
Yeah, the Patriots then he blames Jordan. Here. I would. If I'm UNC, I am addressing this. I'm making this even into a bigger thing.
And by the way, it's on a short week after an embarrassing loss heading towards what's supposed to be an easy game. But for this team at this juncture, it's also a distraction. Like players know, like if I'm a player and I find this out, I might be upset. Like I know I got a job to do and I'm practicing and all those things.
Who said
you just diminished my pro prospects by 3%?
There's people that when he went to New UNC, they're like, oh, well, it sucks. He's not going to be as interesting. I'm like, are you kidding me? Where Bill goes, it's going to be a fascinating story, and he is not disappointed.
Just when I think every event is like the wow thing that can't be surpassed, there's another event that wows me more than the previous one and surpasses it, and this is definitely it. Yes,
maybe he turns down, on second thought, maybe he turns down that statue.
He's not turning down a statue.
I don't want it. I'm
done. He is not turning down a statue.
Washing my hands with New England.
Good for him. Good, because they washed their hands of him. They had to get away from him. And Robert, you know, issued the olive branch, and Bill snapped it off and stomped on it and spit on it and lit it on fire and did everything else he could do it. 617-779-7937. The latest soap opera. I thought Diggs was the soap opera of the day. That's not the biggest soap opera of the day here on WEEI Afternoons. The biggest soap opera of the day continues to be Patriots, Bill Belichick, North Carolina football. Up next, we close out the show with Odds and Ends.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime. Just download the Odyssey app.
That's A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Save WEEI as a favorite and listen wherever you go. Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons coming up on Odds and Ends, brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. Before we get to Christian Arcan, a little crossover here. Let's go back to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Cam in Wilmington has a thought on Bill Belichick. What's up, Cam?
What's up, guys? This is making me torn here because as a Patriots fan, you know, you love the team, you root for the team. Belichick did so much. But as much as he's being petty, it's almost, you know, spiting all of the fans, right? Because you're hurting the organization, you're hurting your own players. Like, this pettiness as a fan is making me just want to wipe my hands with Bill Belichick.
Thanks for the call, Cam. Sorry to cut you off there. We're coming up to the end of it here, but I agree.
I can see how fans would think that.
But that's all collateral damage to Bill thinking about Bill, right? Like, that, he's not layering all these issues. Like, he's just thinking about, what do you call him, Petty Kruger, his... He's been spurned by the crafts and everything, and
But the point is, he should be thinking.
Oh yeah,
like if I say this, what does that really mean? Well, it means like the fans might look at you differently, Bill.
But I would also argue that
the fans gave him a standing ovation at Tom Brady night.
Well, but that was for like the first 15 or 20 years, and I get that you can acknowledge the greatness and the success. But let's just look at like the last 5 years. His decision making's been terrible. Like the decisions he's made. Football-wise, personal life-wise.
But people didn't hold that against him. Didn't matter. Because you brought six Super Bowls before the last 5 years.
And that's how a lot of people look at it. No matter what he did, he's a made man.
That's right.
So he could literally, you know, pee in your Cheerios and you'll just eat him and say he won six Super Bowls and he's the greatest. And we can't look at it that way. I don't look at it that way. Like, I can separate the two. It's what I get into the argument with Christian Arcan about. Speaking of Christian Arcan.
Hi.
Separating the art and the artist. And the art of Bill Belichick was that he took you to 9 Super Bowls and he won 6 of them. The artist has gone off the rails over the last 5 years a little bit, on and off the football field professionally, and not to the degree of like a Michael Jackson or an R. Kelly. Well,
let's hope not.
I mean, he's dating a woman 50 years younger than him.
Right, so but he's not committing a crime in doing so. Yes.
No, trapped in the closet.
What was your... I said something earlier that I think you agree with. Off air, you came in with quite a hot take in reaction to this Bill Belichick banning scouts from the Patriots, from his UNC practices. What's that take?
I think that he could get fired quick, like, soon. Like, I think this... If the backlash to this, if it does get there, like, I think you could see... You could see an emergency meeting being called to Chapel Hill and saying, what do we do here? What are we doing? We only... In the last 5 years, UNC has not even sent 20 players to the NFL. They sent 19. That's less than 4 per year. And now you're cutting one of the scouts out? Are you crazy? What are you doing?
From the team that took the highest of those, correct?
Right. And also Patriots, a big connect. And there's a big connection right there. Right. Drake's back at UNC all the time.
I just asked Ted that. You think he's not welcome? He told us on Tuesday when we interviewed him for Patriots
it's
Monday.
So weird.
He met with Bill. He wants to continue to meet from Bill, pick his brain, learn
all
from
these
him.
Former Patriot players go down there.
Yeah.
All these. Yeah, you have former Patriot players coaching there.
Yep. Yep.
If he had won a national, or if he had made like the college football playoffs in the first year and he did this next year, it wouldn't be as bad as doing it after you just got the crap kicked out of you by 34 points in your opening game against TCU. Like, that's, all of it is just, you know what I mean? It's very early. Like, I don't think you can judge this whole season yet based on that one game. But sure. I also think that you start throwing stuff like this, limiting your players and the kids that you went out and scouted or that are paying tuition to go there, they're not all on scholarship, to be that. Like, that's unbelievable.
And I look at this, I always use the example, if Bill Belichick was overseeing Bill Belichick right now, wouldn't he say,
hey, maybe focus on winning football games, right? Maybe ignore the noise and the distractions on the outside. Wouldn't Bill Belichick, the supposed great coach of the past, tell the current Bill Belichick that his priorities are not in the right place right now?
So his actions don't match up his words.
Ding, 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 ding.
You're just figuring that out
ding,
now.
No.
Just finally,
don't give me that tone you give everybody else. Now. I see it. I see it more than others.
Andy, where you been, man?
Jesus.
You been listening
I
to anything?
It. I listen to everything you say.
That statement to Kite is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
That statement to Kite is incredible.
The Lombardi one?
Yeah, the one that's definitely maybe from Mike Lombardi. Yeah, I'd say that. Like, I can't believe that someone would approve that. I almost think maybe it was Jordan. Like that reflects the type of immaturity, you know what I mean? Like that a 24-year-old would have, not someone like Mike Lombardi. But, as much of a buffoon as he can be sometimes.
But I mean, my feeling is that Bill told Lombardi to say that, and it's you're like, maybe. Bill, were you like you have to know what this is gonna do once it gets out. It's not gonna make you look good.
Yeah, no. It does not. I was stunned at this. When we got the initial report from the scout that Patriots scouts have been banned, I said, Ted, there'll be more information coming. North Carolina will clarify this the way they clarified Jordan being banned.
Yep. They clarified her.
Yeah, they clarified it.
Not
they showed
nice
them.
Double down.
They threw a Molotov cocktail on the whole damn situation,
yeah.
And it exploded. So I assume you'll be talking a little bit. Do you have a quick show?
Yes,
four hours.
We have 1 hour.
Oh.
Because we're carrying the opener.
Oh, that's right.
We're carrying Dallas, Philly tonight. So we will have 1 hour to get in all the football talk we possibly can. We'll do something that I've never heard anyone do and preview the season, which I'm very excited to do. I don't think anyone's done that today.
Nope.
So we'll have that. We'll have some Belichick, your phone calls, all the good stuff.
All right, stick around for an hour of Christian Arcan, some hot takes like Bill Belichick could be fired by the University of North Carolina very quickly for his latest actions. Then stick around for some NFL football. Yes, we have NFL football rivalry game Cowboys-Eagles here on WEEI later tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 2 to 6, WEEI Afternoons. Enjoy the football.
He's on his way to do TV. He's doing BST tonight.
Sick brag, bro.